1 Samuel chapter 15, and we're kind of in the middle of this chapter. Last week I preached the first 9 verses, and this week we're going to do verses 10 through 23. But for the sake of context, I think I'm going to read verses 1 through 23, because we have some visitors here who were not here last week, and I think that would help them understand our passage. So we're going to read this morning 1 Samuel chapter 15, the verses 1 through 23. And this is the reading of God's holy, infallible, and inerrant word. Samuel said to Saul, "I am the one the Lord sent to anoint you king over his people Israel. So listen now to the message from the Lord. This is what the Lord Almighty says. I will punish the Amalekites for what they did to Israel when they waylaid them as they came up from Egypt. Now go, attack the Amalekites and totally destroy everything that belongs to them. Do not spare them. Put to death men and women, children and infants, cattle, sheep, camels, and donkeys." So Samuel summoned the men and mustered them at Telaim, 200,000 foot soldiers and 10,000 men from Judah. Saul went to the city of Amalek and set an ambush in the ravine. Then he said to the Kenites, "Go away, leave the Amalekites so that I do not destroy you along with them, for you showed kindness to all the Israelites when they came up out of Egypt." So the Kenites moved away from the Amalekites. Then Saul attacked the Amalekites all the way from Havilah to Shur, to the east of Egypt. He took Agag, king of the Amalekites, alive, and all his people he totally destroyed with the sword. But Saul and the army spared Agag and the best of the sheep and cattle, the fat calves and the lambs, everything that was good. These they were unwilling to destroy completely, but everything that was despised and weak, they totally destroyed. Then the word of the Lord came to Samuel, "I am grieved that I have made Saul king, because he has turned away from me and has not carried out my instructions." Samuel was troubled, and he cried out to the Lord all that night. Early in the morning, Samuel got up and went up to meet Saul, but he was told, "Saul has gone to Carmel. There he has set up a monument in his own honor and has turned and gone down to Gilgal." When Samuel reached him, Saul said, "The Lord bless you. I have carried out the Lord's instructions." But Samuel said, "What then is this bleating of sheep in my ears? What is this lowing of cattle that I hear?" Saul answered, "The soldiers brought them from the Amalekites. They spared the best of the sheep and cattle to sacrifice to the Lord your God. But we totally destroyed the rest." "Stop," Samuel said to Saul. "Let me tell you what the Lord said to me last night." "Tell me," Saul replied. Samuel said, "Although you were once small in your own eyes, did you not become the head of the tribes of Israel? The Lord anointed you king over Israel, and he sent you on a mission saying, 'Go and completely destroy those wicked people, the Amalekites. Make war on them until you have wiped them out.' Why did you not then obey the Lord? Why did you pounce on the plunder and do evil in the eyes of the Lord?" "But I did obey the Lord," Saul said. "I went on the mission of the Lord that he assigned me. I completely destroyed the Amalekites and brought back Agag, their king. The soldiers took sheep and cattle from the plunder, the best of what was devoted to God, in order to sacrifice them to the Lord your God at Gilgal." But Samuel replied, "Does the Lord delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as much as in obeying the voice of the Lord? To obey is better than sacrifice, and to heed is better than the fat of rams. For rebellion is like the sin of divination, and arrogance like the evil of adultery. Because you have rejected the word of the Lord, he has rejected you as king." Thus the word of God as it comes to us from 1 Samuel 15 this morning. Samuel's poetic condemnation of King Saul in verses 22 through 23 are very familiar and often quoted verses of Scripture. And so I thought this morning that it was important as we began that we look first of all at the structure of these verses, because if you understand the structure of these verses, you will understand the whole passage as it leads to Samuel's condemnation of Saul. Well, I've included in your outline, or I'm sorry, in your bulletins, a little outline of the structure of verse 22 of 1 Samuel 15. And you notice there that there is a chiastic structure. A chiastic structure means that the passage is building to a center, and then you look around the outer layers of the passage concerning the sacrifices. And let me just illustrate this. Does the Lord delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as much as in obeying the voice of the Lord? To obey is better than sacrifice, and to heed is better than the fat of rams. You will notice the way the passage is structured. The author writes of sacrifices on the outer layers, and in the center of these verses, he puts obedience. Does the Lord delight in sacrifices as much as obedience? To obey is better than sacrifice. The heart of his message is that obedience is at the heart of our relationship with God. Yes, sacrifices are important, but sacrifices without obedience are meaningless sacrifices. And so Samuel's pronouncement to Saul is concerning the importance of his obedience and Saul's lack of obedience. In fact, as Samuel continues, verse 23, for rebellion is like the sin of divination, and arrogance like the evil of idolatry. Saul's failure to obey, his rebellion, his arrogance of thinking that he knows the word of God better than God himself does, is like idolatry, is like worshiping other gods. Now, how many of you have seriously thought about the implications of these verses and the implications concerning your obedience? If God describes disobedience as rebellion and arrogance and as idolatry, as worshiping other gods, what does that say for your lack of obedience? Why does Samuel use this kind of language? Well, I think it's important this morning that we understand Samuel's condemnation, first of all, because it helps us understand the seriousness of the things that King Saul has done. When Samuel pronounces that it's like idolatry, Saul's arrogance, Saul's rebellion is like divination, the worship of evil spirits and other gods, he is saying about King Saul that King Saul has another god. He's not worshiping the true God of heaven and earth who has placed him on this throne. He has put another God in the place of the true God. Well, who is that other God? Well, as we began our passage in chapter 15, last week we looked at the meaning of harem warfare. Harem warfare was God's holy war in which he ordained the complete destruction of a sinful and a wicked people. Another example of this is the story of Jericho. The Israelites enter into the promised land under Joshua. God declares that the city of Jericho is to be destroyed. The walls come tumbling down, and the Israelites go in and completely destroy them. The city's sins had reached a point where there was no hope for them, so God's judgment came upon them. Well, now God in 1 Samuel 15 has ordained this harem warfare against the Amalekites. And last week we traced the history of the Amalekites, how when God's people came out of Egypt, as he tells us in verse 2, they waylaid them as they were in the wilderness. They attacked them from behind. They persecuted and tried to harm God's saved and delivered people from Egypt. That was an expression against their rebellion against God and their lack of love for his people. So God has now ordained that the Amalekites be destroyed. And King Saul has been commissioned to carry out that command, to destroy them completely, the women, the children, the infants, the cattle, the camels, and the donkeys. And of course, Saul doesn't do this. We read in verse 6 that he saves the king, verse 9, that they spare Agag the king. They spare the best of the sheep, the cattle, the calves, and the lambs, everything that was good, and they were unwilling to destroy them completely, just the things that were despised and weak, they totally destroyed. So they saved the best of the animals for themselves. Saul saved Agag as a trophy of his victory, and perhaps for his own purposes later on. Saul does not completely carry out this command. Why? Because Saul never views this battle as the Lord's battle. As Saul hears this command and he thinks of leading the Lord's army into battle, he sees it as his own battle. In harem warfare, when God has ordained that a nation be destroyed, there was no strategy needed. The Israelites marched around Jericho one time each day for 7 days, wide out in the open with the people calling down curses on them from the walls. On the 7th day, they marched 7 times around the city, and suddenly the walls fell down and God sent his people in to bring about the victory and destruction. No battle strategy was needed. Yet when Saul is given this command, what does he do in verse 5? He went to the city of Amalek and he set an ambush in the ravine. He's developed his own military strategy, his own way in which he is going to bring about this victory for the nation of Israel. And when the victory is complete, Saul believes he is to be glorified. In verse 10, as Samuel goes to Saul, he finds in verse 12 that Saul has gone to Carmel and set up a monument in his own honor and has turned and gone down to Gilgal. Saul doesn't view this as God's victory. Saul views this as his victory. It's like he has put himself in God's place. The monument to glorify himself in the great victory that he brought for Israel, the allowing the king to live as a trophy of his victory, and so he could proclaim to the nations and always remind them of this nation that King Saul had totally destroyed. Saul has put himself in God's place as the leader of the army, as the one who drives the Israelites into battle, and as the one who brings about victory. So the Lord is grieved. We read in verse 10 and 11 that the Lord is grieved that Saul has made king. He's grieved because he's turned away and not carried out the Lord's specific instructions. Samuel too is just as troubled, and he cries out to the Lord all that night. When Samuel sees and hears of the monument being made by King Saul, Saul greets him at Gilgal and he declares, "The Lord bless you. I have carried out the Lord's instructions." Saul thinks he's obeyed. Saul thinks that by the victory the Lord has blessed him and he's been perfectly obedient. But Samuel replies, "What then is this bleating of sheep in my ears? Why this lowing of cattle that I hear?" "The soldiers," Saul said, "they brought them from the Amalekites. They spared the best of the sheep and cattle to sacrifice to the Lord your God, but we totally destroyed the rest." "Stop," Samuel said to Saul. "Let me tell you what the Lord has said to me." Saul's reasons for allowing the animals to live, for allowing the soldiers to allow the animals to live, shows that he doesn't understand sacrifice at all. The Amalekites and their animals and their people were already dedicated to the Lord. God had already declared that they were to be destroyed and that they were his. They were given his judgment for destruction, to be completely wiped out from the earth. What kind of sacrifice is it to sacrifice something that's already the Lord's? That's no sacrifice at all. In fact, it shows us here that perhaps Saul viewed those animals not as the Lord, but as his. For that's how they would be sacrificed. Samuel tells Saul, verse 17, although you were once small in your own eyes, did you not become the head of the tribes of Israel? The Lord anointed you king over Israel. Samuel is reminding Saul that Saul was once small, even by his own admission, in his own eyes. God has lifted him up as head of the tribe of Israel, as king over Israel, who is to instruct them and guide them in the word of God. Yet his excuse is that the men did it, not him. Samuel goes on to remind Saul of his specific instructions, verse 18. God sent you on a mission saying, go and completely destroy those wicked people, the Amalekites. Make war on them until you have completely wiped them out. Why did you not obey the Lord? Why did you pounce on the plunder and do evil in the eyes of the Lord? But I did obey, Saul said. I went on the mission the Lord assigned me. I completely destroyed the Amalekites and brought back Agag, their king. The soldiers took sheep and cattle from the plunder, the best of what was devoted to God, in order to sacrifice them to the Lord your God at Gilgal. Two times Saul is confronted. Two times Saul justifies his actions. The second time, Samuel repeats the commands of the Lord, the word of the Lord that was specifically given to Saul for him to follow. Yet Saul rationalizes his own obedience. I destroyed them, and I brought back only the king. The soldiers, they're the ones who took the sheep and the cattle, but it was only to sacrifice them to the Lord your God. You see, not only has Saul put up a monument for his own honor, for his own glory, putting himself in God's place, he also has come to the point where he thinks he knows more than God. When God gives him a command, Saul makes it his own command. Saul rationalizes his obedience. He doesn't follow God's word every jot and tittle. Instead, he makes up his own word, his own obedience, trying to keep the spirit of what God has said and disobeying. Samuel's condemnation of Saul is related to his disobedience and his love of himself. You see, the idol that Saul worships is himself. The other god that Saul has put in God's place is himself. His rebellion against God's word shows that he thinks he knows more than God. His arrogance at doing things his way shows that he thinks he knows and does better than God has commanded. His disobedience shows that he doesn't understand the sacrifices at all. And God says to him, because you have rejected the word of the Lord, he has rejected you as king. Yet when you look at Saul, when you look at his disobedience, can you see your own self? Can you see your own way? We too, as God's people, like to glorify ourselves in this world. We like to take credit for what we accomplish or what we have done. Saul's a man who hears the word of God and then he justifies his own obedience in his mind. He thinks to himself, well, God's word tells me this, but if I do it this way, at least I'm trying to keep the spirit of it, and I'm doing it for God, so it's probably okay. That's Saul's thinking. That's how he obeys the Lord. And God calls that idolatry. But God hasn't left us without a king. God did not leave Israel without a king. For at the heart of Samuel's condemnation is obedience. Obedience which gives meaning to sacrifices. And God has sent us another king, much greater than Saul, who knew true obedience, who lived his life perfectly obedient to God's word, who lived his life on this earth keeping every jot and tittle, who never questioned what God's word said, who never interpreted his own rational understanding of what it meant to keep God's word. But he lived that word and kept that word in perfect obedience and giving himself as a perfect sacrifice. Saul thinks that by giving what is already God's and making a sacrifice, he's given a sacrifice. That's no sacrifice at all. When Jesus came, he gave him himself. He didn't give somebody else or what was already God's. He sacrificed his own life for the sake of others. At the heart of his perfect obedience is his perfect sacrifice. At the heart of his perfect obedience and perfect sacrifice is our salvation. At the heart of the word that has become flesh is Jesus Christ and salvation. God has called us to obey him as the word. God has called us not to put ourselves in his place, glorifying ourselves over Christ, but giving him all the glory. God has called us to listen to the word and to follow the word, not to rationalize it, not to think of what God's word says and interpret it on our own and conclude that it's still okay because we want to do it. You see, God's word tells us how we are to think, what we are to do, how we are to live. Yet as sinners like Saul, how often don't we do our own way? May we look to our King who has died for us and who has given us salvation. May we know his obedience and love his righteousness. May we speak of his sacrifices and understand what his sacrifice has meant for us. May our heart be full of a humble and contrite spirit that recognizes our sin and looks to him for salvation. Let us pray. Father in heaven, we thank you this morning for your word as it comes to us from 1 Samuel 15. And Lord, as we look at the life of Saul, we can see ourselves. We can see our own rationalization and justification of doing the things that we do. We see and understand what your word tells us, yet how often don't we apply it the way we want? Help us, Lord, to look to our Savior and recognize that even though we do these things, he has died for us and he has paid for our sins. Help us to recognize that our salvation is in him alone. And in him, Lord, we find our glory. In him, we find perfect obedience. And may we live knowing that his obedience has been applied to us. May we, Lord, as your people, humble ourselves as we come to him, as we partake of this table and as we come to partake of it. May you give us humble and contrite spirit, which recognizes that we do not come by our own righteousness, but only by the righteousness of Jesus. May you soften our hearts to see what it means to obey and perfectly keep the word of God. May we come not thinking we know more than you, but that we need you and live by every word that you have given us. We pray all of these things in Jesus' name. Amen.